A federal judge in Anchorage is scheduled to consider whether to temporarily bar state election officials from implementing a new redistricting plan. A hearing is scheduled for this morning before U.S. District Court Judge Sharon Gleason. Plaintiffs say the state is violating the Federal Voting Rights Act by moving ahead with election preparations under the plan before it is approved by the Department of Justice. They also have requested that a three-judge panel hear their case and block the state from using the plan until it wins so-called preclearance from the department. Attorneys for the state contend the plaintiffs have not justified their request. The plaintiffs include Russell Nelson, who had filed as a candidate for the state house before the lawsuit was filed, but has since withdrawn his candidacy. Juneau's Bartley Regional Hospital today begins a rigorous three-day assessment center interview process to hire a new CEO. The city-owned hospital's board of directors conducted a nearly six-month-long search before settling on three people. They are Christine Harf, CEO at Sanford Medical Center in Thief River Falls, Minnesota; William Comer, Senior Vice President of Hospital Operations at New Terra Healthcare in Kansas City; and the only Alaska candidate, Petersburg Medical Center CEO Elizabeth Woodyard. Hospital Board Member Kristen Bomingen led a committee in charge of the search, and she says the board had a long list of qualifications it wanted candidates to have, including previous CEO experience, communication skills, and some understanding of running a hospital in Juneau.
We wanted familiarity with the public process, being a public facility. We would like to see some clinical experience. We'd like to have people familiar with rural, small community hospitals.
The board has been working with executive search firm Quick Leonard Kiefer since March. Bomingen says the firm looked at more than 500 hospital executives from around the country before narrowing it down to nine candidates. The board brought six to Juneau for interviews in late May, and the finalists were announced June 1st. During the assessment center, each candidate will be interviewed again by a panel of board members, medical staff, and community leaders, including City Manager Kim Kiefer. Bomingen says they'll also be asked to perform real-life exercises, which will not be revealed until tomorrow morning.
As one might be presented a dilemma when you walk in on Monday morning.
Members of the public are invited to watch the exercises tomorrow morning, as well as presentations by each candidate tomorrow afternoon. That's followed by a Meet the Candidates reception. All the events are at the Bartlett Administration Building. Bomingen says public input will be part of the board's decision process.
Anyone who has an interest in the future health care process in our community could possibly like to take part in this. There will be an opportunity for feedback to be provided by anyone who attends the full sessions.
The assessment center will be run by the city's Human Resources Department. The process was most recently used in hiring a new city manager and Eagle Crest Ski Area general manager. And for a schedule of the public portion of the assessment center, you can go to our website at ktoonews.org and click on the link for the story. The price of Brent crude oil is $96.74 a barrel this morning. West Texas Intermediate crude is at $82.63 a barrel. Gold is down about $2.50 in New York spot market trading at $1,615.10 an ounce. Silver down about 38 cents at $28.48. Drilling expected to get underway Saturday on the Herbert Glacier Gold Prospect near Juneau. Majority owner Grand Portage Resources says two rigs will drill 60 to 70 holes during the first phase. An independent estimate based on drill results of two of four principal veins shows the project holds more than 245,000 ounces of gold. The Herbert Glacier Gold Project is about 16 miles north of Juneau in the Juneau Mining District. Core Alaska's Kensington Mine is about 19 miles south, and Hecla Greens Creek Mine is about 12 miles west. The company says the drill program indicated at least six promising gold-bearing vein fault structures on the property. In a statement, Grand Portage says that it has granted incentive stock options to purchase up to 1,750,000 common shares at an initial price of 15 cents per share for a period of 5 years from the date of issue. Herbert Glacier is a joint venture between Grand Portage and Quatera Resources, both based in Vancouver, British Columbia. Grand Portage has 65% and Quatera has 35% interest in the Herbert project. Meanwhile, three workers from Greens Creek Mine are among the emergency responders to the Pogo Mine in the interior Tuesday. After an early morning underground fire forced the evacuation of 34 workers in the facility near Delta Junction. Greens Creek Miners are part of Central Mine Rescue, a cooperative made up of workers from nine different mines in Alaska and the Pacific Northwest. Greens Creek Health and Safety Manager Teresa Cummins says they all train on the same equipment and are ready to assist other mines in the event of an emergency.
They like up at the Pogo Mine. We didn't have to pack up, bring anything with us. Our personnel are trained so that we could work with other underground mine rescue teams. We all are speaking the same language for an efficient and quick response when these nine members are in need.
Cummins says the Greens Creek miners were called in to assist Pogo's mine rescue team. She has not had any contact with them, but says it's likely they did not see any action. In the event of an underground emergency, the Central Mine Rescue Agreement requires two teams of six to respond, one in a primary role and the other as a backup. The cooperative is run out of Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, and puts out a call anytime there's an emergency at one of the member mines. And in the case of the Pogo incident, Cummings says Greens Creek was the first to respond that it had a team available.
This is what they trained for, and I'm very, very proud of them. I had more volunteers than I had spots to send.
Cummins says about 20 workers make up the Greens Creek Mine Rescue Team. Last month, they competed in a central mine rescue competition in Kellogg, Idaho, pitting workers from the nine-member mines against each other in drills and training exercises. Nobody was hurt in that underground fire at the Pogo Mine. The incident is under investigation by the Federal Mine Safety and Health Administration. Top Pentagon officials at a Senate budget hearing yesterday were grilled about the plan to move an F-16 squadron from Eielson Air Force Base to Joint Base Elmendorf-Richardson. Senator Lisa Murkowski asked Defense Secretary Leon Panetta and General Martin Dempsey, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, to try to get the Air Force to abandon the plan until it was better studied. Panetta defended the plan as necessary to meet congressional mandates to reduce spending. Dempsey said he had been hearing a lot from Alaska senators about the plan and promised to look into it.
I won't commit to going back and talking them out of their plan. I will commit to you to go back and make sure I understand their plan better, and then I'll engage with you on it personally, you and Senator Begich.
Secretary Panetta sought to assure Murkowski that the plan was solely motivated by budget considerations and was definitely not part of a scheme to shut down Eielson Air Force Base.
I just want you to know, and I've shared this with your colleague as well, that we have no intention of closing down Eielson. It's a very important base for us. It's important in terms of air refueling. It's important in terms of the role that we want to be able to play with regards to the Pacific. And so nothing that is being recommended here in any way is intended to impact on Eielson itself as a future base for the Air Force.
But Murkowski said she was not convinced, pointing to plans to tear down some of Eielson's buildings.
Part of the proposed savings that the Air Force is looking to is demolishing several buildings within Eielson. The replacement value of these is about $150 million. So it puts it in a situation where it would appear to be kind of a backdoor BRAC, and that is the concern, the consideration.
And you may remember that BRAC stands for Base Realignment and Closure. That's the procedure for deciding which bases to close. It was intended to take some of the politics out of the process, but it requires congressional authorization, which is considered extremely unlikely currently.